talk a little on tonight just the body cohesive or body cohesion. You know, it has been a wonderful time that we have last Wednesday, because being the first of the year, then able to come in the afternoon. I know many of you are not here. But being able to open up, each individual one of us, to, you know, say from your heart what the year 2013 meant to you. You know, whether you have any regrets and what, you know, I think that you should have done but not done it, and what the blessings are, things like that, we, you know, you share from your heart. I think it's good because we get to know more about you. The problem here is tonight is that, you know, if I look at your faces, and I think that when you look at each other, I don't know how much you know of one another. You know? And of course, I think that I'm not sure if every one of you know everybody else by name even. Right? So that is what I'm saying, and I want to talk about the body cohesive or cohesion. Let's just go to the book of John, chapter 13, 1 to 17, a couple of verses, and I want to finish up it around about 40 minutes, and we can go straight to the communion. John chapter 13, and verse 1 to 17 here. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, is the Passover supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, not Simon Peter's son, another son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rise from supper and laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel while he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter and said, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you have to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do now, you know not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And I want you to look into some verses before I go further. Go and look into that verse, verse 8. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Now, we know that this is perhaps just a saying of Jesus Christ. But no matter what Jesus said, remember, he is not only our Lord and our Master, not only our Savior, but he is also our brother. Why do we practice feet washing? Because Jesus commanded later, he commanded them. Churches don't do it, they don't believe in it. It's only just, a figurative thing or symbolic things, you know, that we should, help one another, share one another, care for one another, pray for one another, love one another. But the washing of feet is important because it humbled ourselves. It caused us to humble ourselves, you know, because the Bible teaches a lot of places how that we should not esteem ourselves higher than anybody else. Is it not right? Yes or no? And the Lord Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Christ is the head of his own body. He is the head. We are all members of the body. And that's why it's important to remember that we are members of the body. Therefore, if one brother do it, and the other brother say, no, you don't have to wash my feet, then there's no part between each other. Now, I'm speaking here for the local assembly, because every local church, every local assembly is sovereign. It represents the whole body of Christ. And so here it is, as a local body, a little flock. Remember this one thing. We are responsible for one another here. We are to relate ourselves one to another. If we cannot relate in this little body of believers here, little flock, how can we relate to others overseas that we do not know, only heard about? Is that right? Do you understand? You see, so whatever we do here as a local body is a representation of the whole body. Alright, now, Daniel continue. Jesus said unto the Lord, Lord, not my feet only, but my hand and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not wash except his feet. But he is every week clean, clean every week. And ye are clean, but not all, referring of course to Judas Iscariot. The only thing about this, your head, your hand. In the strength, Jesus can say, you're already washed, means you've already taken your shower. But why the feet? Because you walk. Right? No matter how you shower in the bathroom, clean out your feet, everything, the moment you walk out the house, you know, in those days they wear sandals. You know, and bound to pick up dust and dirt. And that's why it's your feet. So it represents the walk. Your walk with the Lord. Your walk with the brother and sister. That's what the Bible talks about. Do not be a stumbling block. How important it is for two to walk together. That's why your walk is important. You don't want to be a stumbling block. Jesus, you know, the apostles and the saints, the prophets and the apostles of old, they walk the way before us. They have laid their footprint on the sand of time for us to follow. How they admonish us, they exhort us how to walk. Because they set themselves as an example. Do you understand that? Or that's simple thing that a lot of people don't tend to overlook. Now let's go on and say, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment, he was set down again. He said to them, don't you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord. Ye say, well, and so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now this is a commandment that is clear cut in the Bible. Yet, 90% or more of the churches today, they don't practice this washing. Huh? Because that is a burdensome thing, you know, carry the basin here and all that stuff. But the joy of the Lord is, I would say to Brother Jimmy and Sister Jackie, I mean the joy of the Lord is that to come early, I came with them early today, bring the basin and take the water, make sure everything. I mean that's a joy because we want to be part of this. We see the importance of feet washing. You see? You understand? So Lord said the prophets do not want it, they don't want to wet the carpet, they don't want to lead the church, you know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know, whatever their reason behind those things. They just said it's just a symbolic thing. Alright? A lot of things are symbolic, but if we don't do it, then it's no use. Huh? What about this? It's all symbolic. Isn't that true? You see. But so we need to understand if Jesus said, if I have done it, so you also need to wash one another's feet. Verse 15. For I have given you an example. That's, you know why? Example. If it is done before, and we must follow. Jesus went into the water and John baptized him. Right? And they both came out of the water. He set an example. And so Philip took the eunuch down into the water and they came out of the water. Right? So to get ourselves wet, it should not be a problem. But where church there, you know, they do sprinkling, they do pouring and stuff like that. So do as what the Bible said to do. Amen. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know this thing, happy are you that you do them. You understand what it is? What does it mean? That's why when we have communion, when we have foot washing, when, you know, let us come together and fulfill this ordinance. Happy are we if we know this thing. What it means to be a body, a member of the body of Christ, the body cohesion, the importance of all these things. Let me tell you something here. This ministry, the Lord gave me back in 71. When I came to the message, came out, and back then those that I think in the 70s, and the Brother Allen also came somewhere at that time, right, Brother Allen? You know, so we came out, we were all having a little fellowship. worship, you know, suddenly. Now, all the years of course, this ministry was had its foundation laid. Let me say this. I want you to listen carefully. I founded this ministry. The Lord gave it to me. And I said this, you are the flock. Without me, you are nothing. Think about it. Huh? You are nothing without me. Think about a moment. But I want to say the other thing. Without you, I am nothing. Do you know that? Sure. Isn't that true? God has set in the body ministry. But there cannot be a ministry if there is no members. No flock. So if I am alone, I am nothing without you. And you are nothing without me. And we are nothing without each other. And I want you to know that. That is very important. Isn't it so? So think about it. You play a part in the body of Christ. I play a part in the body of Christ. Every one of us. Go to the book of Romans chapter 12. And verse 3 to 31. For I say, though through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Soberly means seriously, huh? Not like a drunken person who think you know, this way and that way. Think soberly. Right. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Isn't it right? Every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I mean, you know, some people think, well, you know, today I was talking to a brother Hubert's son, and he's now in KL, you know, studying maintenance of, you know, aircraft thing, you know, that Zoel, you know, like Brother Song, this sort of thing, you know. So I talked to him on Skype today, and he was telling me, you know, he wanted to go to church, so I couldn't tell him some of the churches there, but, you know, we have not been connection, I mean, the churches there and our church here, we have no connection over these years. So anyway, he connected this pastor, and he told the pastor that, you know, his church back in Mumbai associated with us. And then he told him my name. Then he said, we should get, and you know, then he kind of stopped, he said, and then later on, I remember a few years ago, he preached for me once and all that, you know. But I heard that he claimed to be one of the seven trumpeting angels or something like that. You know, I've got brother trying to tell him, I said, where do you get all this stuff? He said, that is the real problem. That is the real problem. Every time people talk to me about Brother Nice, Brother James Elwood, Brother Andrew Peary, over there, they always tell me, you know, so and so. When I met them, I talked to them, they say, oh, we are sure the brother again. Oh, I heard he's one of seven thunder. He comes to himself to be the eighth message. Where did that come from? The problem is that people are being deceived by devils through their own, through the, well, ministering people. That man may be a preacher, he heard it from other preachers, he associated with, and it all goes around. And that's the thing is that, you know, the Bible says, take heed what you hear and how you hear, how important it is. Because there's a lot, there's deceiving spirit going out into the world to deceiving people. You see? So, but if I am an apostle, that's what I am. I cannot be a messenger above anything else. If I'm a pastor, then I'm just a pastor. If you are an evangelist, then you are an evangelist. You cannot be above what you are not called. I'm in the five-man ministry, but our friend is one of the stars. Is that right? Luther could do only what he was called to do. He could not be anybody else. Is that all right? Yeah. You know, everybody has
has a calling. Even Oral Roberts, even Billy Graham. But man, how he types that. They have their brains. Somebody must fulfill what the Bible wrote about. Be he a false preacher, a false prophet, somebody must fulfill that. Am I not right? Then you, according to the truth you saw in the light, you fulfill that light that you have seen. That's how important that is. Alright, let's continue where it says right here. Chapter 12, verse 3, verse 4. For as we have many members in our one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of it, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, ministering, or he that teach on teaching, or he that exhort and exhortation, he that give, let him do it with simplicity, he that rule with diligence, he that show mercy with cheerfulness, that love be without dissimulation, that means without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things, honors in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as lie in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Very simple thing to talk about. Simple thing as you read it, very easy to understand. But it is kind of hard to follow for many people. Isn't it so? You know, today we have, well, just the other day, a Saturday. You know, I was here, I went by, took the train by. As the train stopped at Choa Chu Kang and got out of the station, and where the staircase, everybody walked down, there's one elevator comes up, the other is just a staircase. So people come out from the door of the train, and I was walking, here in front was a young man, I think he's about the size of Brother Yingfan's body build. You know, he was in front, and people are walking, you know, everybody is going down. And walking, and suddenly he stopped right at the staircase, looking at his silly phone, I would say, texting away, and almost banging to him. You know, I have to sidestep. I said, "What are you standing? Keep going." Everybody walking, you know. He was just texting. Imagine if everybody is walking and the people behind me, you know, there's a lot of people. If I bang into him, somebody bang from behind, if I stop banging me and bang him, he will fall. You know, we're just kind of upset. I said, "What's wrong with people today? You're walking on the road, you're looking at you at the tip of the staircase, not an elevator. And you suddenly stop. And there are people come down the elevator, you ever seen them come down the elevator and they stop right there. And people at the back are falling into the, how are you going to, you want to bang into him? I don't know. You know, it makes a person very frustrated, you know what I mean? So sometimes we are living in a society, you just get really thrown around with all these things going on. You know, but here the Bible tells us to, well, you know, just relax and, you know. Now Brother Jensen was saying, "Oh, I will not say I'm not so good, huh?" You know what they're about? Be happy and you'll be happy. It is your attitude. The world is crazy, why won't you be crazy with them? Huh? The world is mad, don't be mad with them. The world is sick, don't want to behave like the world when they're sick. Isn't it so? We live above the chaos of this world.
You know, and we can. With the Lord, we can. We have it. You see, when I'm down, I'm not out. You know that, isn't it? Huh? Yes. Rise above all things. God has given us the ability to, the strength, the spirit to rise above all the problems in this world. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Alright. I want to say this is the other day I watched a movie. It is produced by National Geographic. I didn't know that it was, National Geographic have a share in making this movie, and it's the true story. I think some of you might have seen the movie. It's called K-19. Have you heard about it? It's about the submarine, a nuclear ballistic, Russian ballistic submarine. And it was totally based back in the year 1961. When America and Russia, you know, they were all this race for the nuclear, you know, superpower of the world. And at that point in time, America have about 10 to 1 nuclear warhead missile. And Russia was racing to have a ballistic nuclear submarine in the sea. So they built in haste. And you know what? That submarine is not really seaworthy. They was building it so fast, you know. There were a lot of problems and they replaced change and all that. But you know what? The captain of the ship, of the submarine crew, he was a good captain. Very good captain. The crew of 139 of them. And they're all good crew. They all respect this captain. But you know, the submarine was no good. And in there, well, those the top brass, so to speak, they just said, no, we got to put this submarine up in the sea. The deadline must be followed. We have to put it in the sea, out there, and test the missile. So they call another captain, you know, to be in charge. So the captain of the crew, the original, came under this new captain. But this new captain, of course, was supposed to be politically motivated. But the story goes like this, in that, well, the day that they have to launch this submarine, you know, they always have this glass, this bottle of champagne, they swing, you know. It hit the submarine, but it doesn't crack. So all the crew that was standing on there, you know, attention, everyone looked at the, we're in trouble. It means bad luck, you know. And even a few days before the sub moves up, the doctor who is well trained in that area, hit by a truck and died. And then when the new captain came on board, after everybody went in, he found that this guy who is in charge of the reactor was drunk. And he caught him lying there. And woke him up and then sent him out and get somebody to replace him. And the person who came to replace him was a newbie. Someone who just came out, graduated, you know, to replace him. Well, they went out to sea. Not long after they went out to sea, this captain did all the crazy thing, did all the tests, drive tests, all that. Now everybody was going, you know, saying, what is he trying to do? Because, I mean, this test is going to the very end. He sent us up to the limit. And in this thing, you know, their problem is there are so many drills that he forced the crew to do. And somehow or other, he broke the surface of in Antarctica, broke through the ice, and everything is okay. And all the crew was happy. You know, that this captain knew what he was doing. So they spent all the time there, the test of the missile was a success. Everybody was happy. So while they went down, something happened. The reactor, one of the piping, reactor leaks. So all those, you know, the radiations and all the water just spreads out. So what to do? And, you know, it's leaking, so the captain said, all right,
I won't treat him to go in. He asked him, how long will it take to fix that leak, to weld it back? He says, 30 minutes. All right, I want a team of two. Each one of 10 minutes goes in. No, no more than 10. Come on. The second team went in and the third team went in. So he said, there are three teams. And there are soldiers there. So I'll volunteer. You know, said, I'll volunteer, I'll go first. But the one was in charge, the newbie was in charge of the reactor. He was afraid. And he wasn't the last team. And the captain said, you go with the third one. You go in. He said, okay. So the first two went in. You know, reactor, you go in there, you're radiated. They came out, they vomit. Then, you know, everybody see, they were afraid. Second team went in. They came out, they vomit. Then when the third team went in, before he could go in, the officer in charge of the reactor, he was already, his leg was buckling. And one of the officer, not the officer, but one of our senior sailors, saw him do that, immediately took his place and went in. And they fixed it. Okay, the reactor was working. But later on, the reactor leaks again. And what happened with leaks? The officer in charge, he realized that it was his duty to go in. And he went in, for more than 18 minutes. And he did it. And he finally wore it. Because the heat was increasing. The temperature was increasing. If it hit 900, they're in trouble. The whole thing will explode. That's why the whole ship was over. The crew was upset with him. The second in command, the original officer captain, was even upset with him. And they wanted to take him away from his responsibility. But in the end, the captain, the one who took charge of the whole thing, he did what was right. In the end of it, when they surfaced, when they went back to Russia, 28 sailors died of radiation. But if it wasn't for that newbie officer who realized it must be his responsibility, he took courage, went in, he spent more than 10 minutes, 18 minutes, and I guess he was the first to die when he ran back. After a few days, he died. Then by and by, 28 died. Moscow said it was an accident. The whole thing was an accident. So it was not, they cannot be declared heroes. So this story leaks out in the novel. That's why National Geographic produced it. When I saw this, I said, wow. And you know what? After 28 years later, all those crew, they went to the cemetery of all the fallen comrades. They died. They all met there. They were all old, 28 years old. 38 years passed. They went there with champagne. To comrades, they say. They are not heroes recognized by the government, by the people, the nation, the government, the head. But to us, they are heroes. To comrades. And that's what it is, you see. We said, the government said, we are responsible for one another. And that is how true that is. We are responsible for one another. Because we are comrades, we are the body, we are the member. And that's why the whole crew, they were all together in that boat. You know, everybody do their duties. And that's what its value to each and every of the sailors. They know what it means. That I can depend on you, you can depend on me. And that's what Paul is talking about here. In chapter 12 to 27. For as the body is one, and many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be born or free, or have all mixed to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the head, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the member, every one of them, in the body, as he has pleased him. For if there were all one members, where were the body? And now, are there many members? Yet but one body.
and the eye cannot see unto the hand, and no need of thee. Not again the head to the feet, and no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely part have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given them abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one from another. And whether one member suffered, all members suffered with it. If one member be honored, all members be honored, rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I was just wondering, if the newbie officer was afraid, well, nobody knows how to deal with that reactor. And he's the officer in charge, he was trained. If he did not go in there and deal with it and solder and weld it, whatever the breakage, the leaking, what would happen to the whole ship? That's why the captain said, nobody knows, the whole ship will blow up and we will be in the Third World War. Not only everybody would just die, but you know, they were near the American ship, near the American, out there, the Sea International, which is very near America. So you just imagine, you know. So we must take responsibility. You know, the thing is this. When it comes to volunteering, dangerous thing. Nobody wants. That's for sure. Yeah. And in the crew when they were eating, yeah, everybody was rushing for food. Of course. Huh? You see? And he was just the captain anyway. He was just, the captain was there. I mean, he cannot be doing every job. He cannot be doing loading of the missile. Huh? Raising the periscope, looking at all the instruments, everybody have his place. And that's why in the fellowship here, everybody must have a place. It's not all Brother Paul's, all Brother Jimmy, Brother Gang, and so and so. Everybody have his place, and let us do the job. Do our share in the body of Christ with great joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to 2 more verses of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3. Now he says here, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know the word conversation. I like the translation because even though it's King James language, the word conversation, you know what is conversation? Conversation means talk. When I talk, you know why I am. When we talk and chat, you know each other. That's conversation. That's how we relate. But the word conversation here is a King James translation, which actually means to say how you walk your life. Yeah? Your action. Your life. How you, or your lifestyle. You understand? Huh? How you interact. People are watching you. Your behavior, that is to say. Okay, let us go to 2 Peter 2:7. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. And deliver just Lord facts with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Huh? Conversation, manner of life. Your behavior in your life. So we are different from the world. Chapter 3 verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person are you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? See the word conversation, it's like you are talking. Conversation. Your manner of life, your behavior. Huh? How important is it as Christian? Now, before I close, before we take our communion, in this fellowship here, we have 5 generations of people, more or less. Not in the sense, 5 generations has, you know, father, son, grandson, grandfather, great-grandfather. No. 5 generations. In that, the oldest of our generation is Sister Aggie. Isn't that so? Brother, Sister Aggie's How old are you, Sister Annie? How old are you?
86.
86. Well, 86. You know, if she could be my mother. Obviously, isn't it? Okay, so the next generation. I would say Sister Annie and Brother Cuddy will be about the same generation. So the next generation will be our generation, my generation. Me, Brother Henry, Jimmy, right? Brother Joe, right? Oh, Brother Alan, yes. So this is our generation. Alright. Now, the next generation after us will be, Zoel generation. Because it is one after us. Okay? Zoel generation. Okay, now after Zoel's generation will be, Christabel's, Daniel's generation, Enoch's generation, maybe also Yingfang's generation. Then after that is those little kids' generation, Joshua, Anna, Adam's generation, in that sense. Is that all right? Now let me say this one thing here. I think that we shouldn't be like let us not be too free because we are Asian. We don't want to be too free like the American or the British or the European. Where there is no respect in calling each other. I think this is very important because I think that we should not do away with our culture. Huh? I know that to be very specific, we have lost a lot of it. Right? Pei Kong, Bo Pei Kong, you know Chinese, you know what I mean? Chek Kong, and then what? Your uncle by the father side is called by a different name in Chinese, and by the mother side is another, right? I mean, we are practically lost on that. Okay? But at least here we should respect one another. I think we should call each other by some term of to show respect of your rank. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now, Brother Cuddy is 70. How are you? 75. Now, I'm 10 years younger than him. I cannot call him. Call him. Now, I respect him and I call him Brother Cuddy. Now, if we is outside and I'm outside, okay, and even if Brother Cuddy is outside, and young men come up to here, you will come, uncle, uncle, uncle. You know what I'm saying? It is uncle, 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 no matter how high the uncle. Because outside is the term they just, in our culture now they call uncle, uncle. Right, I understand that. But here, I can't call Brother Cuddy, call him. I mean, I respect him because he's older than me. You know, even as you're younger, even my sometimes I call you brother. Do you understand that? And so, we need to understand. I remember when Zohar was young. I think Brother Paul is, how old are you now, Brother Paul? I can't remember your age. 50 years old. Okay. So I remember when he was, when I was married with Zohar, he came and played with Zohar, and Zohar always called him, what do you call him? Koko, yes, call him Koko. Right? But now at this time he doesn't call Koko anymore, he call him Brother Paul. Is that right? So I think that therefore we need to apply their name with the word brother. Anyone who is 10 years older than you, at least you must call him some respect. Is that right? I mean like that, except of course my brother Henry is my brother. He's a blood brother, I can just call him Henry. Is that right? Okay, but any otherwise, you need to at least address somebody. Even Brother John, how are you, Brother John? Huh? 52. I'm 10 years older than you. 13 years older than you. Right, I still call you Brother John. If all their members, I still call you Brother John. But for me to call a younger person by name is not wrong. But for a younger to call somebody who's older, it's no good. So let us have some respect in calling each other. You understand that? Okay, if we don't have this respect, I think that's really American. Because in America, when I was in America, I couldn't believe my ear. The nephew called his uncle by name. I couldn't believe, and that he was only a young boy, he was only in his teen, and that man is in his 40 or 50 years old. And I said, well, I try to figure out, ask them, say, why? No, that's our culture. And I think that's not good. Even some of them calling their father by name, do you know that? I can't believe that. You know? So that's why in our Chinese, Asian context, culture and tradition, there is where we have this unity understanding, you know, respect for the elders. Right? And I like to hear, when I hear sister, like young girl, sister here, Christy and Jolie, when they call Zuhao, they call it Coco. Yeah, I remember from that time, younger, they always got Coco. You know? And that's good, that's a simple way, you know? Yeah, I can call her Kali Tucker. You know what I mean? That's it. Oh, what? You see, so let us have some respect. And this is what the body should be. You know, because you may say anything of great importance is always given a higher value. For example, your body. Every part of a member of a body has a certain value. What do you think is more important in your hand? The thumb, right? Isn't it so? About the finger, the thumb is most important. So you're called more important to this. Now, when somebody has his toe, hand, finger cut off by accident, what would a surgeon normally do? Take the toe and put it here. Huh? Why? If a toe is lost, you don't take a thumb and put it in a toe, would you? Because there is a sense of value in the body. And you accord the respect to the members of the body. You agree with me then? You see? So the same in the body of Christ. So there must be cohesion. The body must have a cohesion. You see? And render unto each other respect, love, and value. And that's what Jesus wants us to do that. So wash one another's feet. Because why? Jesus commanded. And I wash their feet because that brother or that sister is a member of the body of Christ. And without doing that, then we are not a part of that body. Do you understand that? It's a simple message tonight. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, just bless the word that has been spoken. Take it and break it down, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, let us approach the communion. Brother Paul and Brother Jim. Alright, so we all stand and turn to our Bible to Corinthians 11 and just read that text. Alright. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. And read from verse 23. Paul here said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, which when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man be hungry, let him eat at home, that he may not come unto condemnation. God bless this word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord, how did He walk this earth? And when the time come, Father, He laid it down. And that He might raise it up again. And so He did, Father. We thank You, Lord, for that body of Christ. And we know, Lord, that very night that He was betrayed, He took the bread, and He broke it, and He blessed it. And He told the disciples to eat it, and to remember Him, His death till He comes. So now, Lord, as this bread is broken, we ask for Your blessing, O Lord, for the healing of our spiritual body, as well as our physical body, in Jesus' name. And let us pray for the cup at the same time. Father, this cup I lift it up, and Jesus took the cup also and blessed it and gave it to His disciple to drink. And He said that this is the cup of the New Testament in My blood. So as He said, so Father, remember that we have this covenant of what Jesus had done for us, O Lord, on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for us. And being a partaker of this cup also, O Father, we are part of His body. And by His blood, O Father, that was shed, our sins are forgiven. So Father, we know that as we are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, so all that which the blood has shed from the at the cross of Calvary, the Spirit of life has returned upon each and every one of the members of the body of Jesus Christ and give life to the members of their body. So, Father, we thank You. Bless it now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brother Jim, over our board. Yes.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on the sound of the disclosure.
Be the name of the Lord. All right, one more song. I'm born again. How many of you are happy? Amen. 382. Are you happy, Brother Johnson?
I don't want my anxious here.
Rise again to give me eternal life. Amen. There's nothing like it. Praise the Lord. Let us have the song. Joy unspeakable and full of glory that lies within the very spirit of thy holy word, Lord. You have given us the joy in this world that is filled with gloom, a dismay world, a gloomy world of darkness that fell so great upon every nation, political situation is so bad. Religion, oh Father, is all a mess. People are wandering here and there, Father, not knowing where they are going. All the things they didn't know where they are going. But Lord, without that light, the gospel light, they are heading nowhere. Oh, we thank you for the light that shines in the time of darkness, to give life to all those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And we are thankful, Father, being a small group of the whole body of Christ that are scattered all over the world. A people, O Lord, that you have foreordained before the foundations of the world to enjoy this blessing. We know, Lord, this is a mystery, Father, for many to comprehend. For many, O Lord, are dull of hearing, O Father. But Lord, for those that have ears to hear and have heard what the Spirit said to the church, to those that have ears to hear, you have made known, O Lord, the mystery of the kingdom of God that lies within the Spirit of the living Christ, whose gospel we have today. We thank you for tonight because of the gospel we are here, Father, to fulfill that very word of yours, that we should gather ourselves together as often as we can. And even when we come together, we remember your death, Lord Jesus, till you come again. And not forgetting also, Lord, to wash one another's feet, to humble ourselves, not to esteem ourselves more than what we should be, what we are, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this precious word. May the body, O Lord of Jesus Christ, in this little fellowship, O Lord, be cohesive, Father. That we will be united as one in mind and even in our understanding of one another to do the things which we need to do, Father. That the body of Christ here will grow strong. That from this place, Lord, that even helps you raise us up for all these many years, that we can take the word out by your Spirit, O Lord, to other parts of the world. That they, those who are still living in darkness, O Lord, in great confusion, in bondage, O Lord, may see the light. Because we know, Father, it will be a small little flock to, as the prophet have said, 1% or 1%. Lord, it may be he's exaggerating, but Lord, we know how scarcity, O Lord, the number would be, Father, of those that are on earth at this time, Father. We know that if it goes back to the days of Adam, we know there might be millions of people that are saved, Father. But in the hours that we're living in, we know we are living in the age of Laodicea. It is a time of darkness upon the face of this earth. And we know, Lord, many have not seen the light. So, Father, as we have been, we have the light and we are in the light, that will help us to walk therefore in the light, Father. Lord, we thank you. Help us to grow in thy grace then. Bless those who are not here tonight. Be with them wherever they are now, Father. For those that are going flying back, little young brother Joshua, Lord, going back to the Philippines, be with him, O Lord, and his niece of Sister Cora also as well, Father. Bless them, Lord, and keep him, that they may be able to return back again, Father. We commit all things to tonight as we leave this place now. Be with us, Father, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you.